Father, I thank you for your word. You are so faithful, Lord. You know exactly what we need. And you are always faithful, Lord, to speak to our hearts, Lord, when we open our hearts to receive. And so, Father, we do that right now, Lord. We make a choice to receive from the Word of God. And, Father, I just thank you that as truth is shared this morning, as we know truth, Lord, that there'll be new freedom, Lord, that in areas of our life, Lord, where we've been hindered, we've not had complete victory, Lord, there's just going to be a release and a new freedom in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Father. Amen. Amen. Today, we will start a sermon series on prayer called A Blueprint for Prayer, and we're going to continue this now on Wednesday nights. So next Sunday, we won't be doing this. You got to come on Wednesday. I know some of you are thinking already, you know, Jesus knew their thoughts. I know what some of you are thinking. I won't be here. Well, I want you to consider, I want to challenge you to make it a priority to be here on Wednesday nights for the next 6 or 7 weeks as we study this blueprint for prayer. There's not any of us that have mastered it. Whether you are a new Christian or you've been serving the Lord for many years, I want you to hear this. You haven't learned it all yet about prayer. And I just really believe that God is going to use this to help us just to be freer in our prayer, to learn how to pray better, to be more effective in our prayer. And for many of us, to be more faithful in prayer. So I just challenge you, encourage you to make this a priority, just to make a commitment that, hey, I'm going to be there for this series on prayer on Wednesday nights. We're going to look specifically at what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us an example, an outline, a pattern, a blueprint for prayer. And I know that many of you have heard that passage of Scripture taught in some way in the past. In fact, I taught through that passage quickly on a Wednesday night a few months ago. But I really believe that God has directed me to do this series, and I believe it's going to be a great blessing and victory for some of us in our prayer life. So I just challenge you to be here. Prayer is not complicated. It is not intended to be difficult. Now, religion always makes prayer complicated. And when I say that we can learn to do it better, that doesn't mean it's complicated. Listen, even a small child can pray. So prayer is not complicated, but we want to do it well. And we want to have freedom in our prayer life. We need to learn to pray effectively. 42 times Jesus mentions prayer in his teaching. 28 different times we see or hear of Jesus praying. The disciples saw him pray. They saw him withdraw from the crowds to find a place to pray. They saw him get up early in the morning while it was still dark and go out to pray. We need to understand the privilege, the opportunity, the power that is available to us in prayer. You see, it doesn't matter what we learn about prayer. If we don't believe it matters, we won't do it. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you will ever do in your life. You say, oh no, I led somebody to the Lord the other day and that was powerful. Well, let me tell you something. It didn't happen without prayer. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. I want to tell you, anything powerful that happens, there was some prayer involved somewhere. Prayer is what brings the power of God into our life, into our world, into the situation that we're dealing with. Prayer is the most powerful thing you ever do. Jesus wants us to always pray and never give up. He told the parable to that end in Luke chapter 18 that men might always pray and not faint, never lose heart, never give up. Now, Jesus wouldn't tell us to always pray if prayer didn't work. I'm telling you this morning, prayer makes the difference. There are things that will happen if you pray that are not going to happen if you don't pray. You see, there is an old religious mindset that says that what God's going to do, what He's going to do, no matter what we do, no matter whether or not we pray, He's going to do His will. That is a lie. It is not from the Bible. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. He didn't say, hey, doesn't matter if you ask or not, you're going to receive. That's not what He taught. He says, ask and you will receive. It's important that we pray. Jesus prayed. God in the flesh. But as He walked this earth as a man, He prayed. There were times when He even left the crowds of people who wanted ministry to go and pray. And some of us think we don't need to pray. Jesus communed with His Father. He heard the voice of His Father. He said, I and the Father are one. I do always what pleases Him. He says, I do what I see the Father do. I speak what the Father gives me to speak. That doesn't happen without prayer, church. We need that kind of a relationship with our Father. Jesus didn't pray just to be an example for us. He prayed because He needed that communion. He needed to call upon that power. And I just want to address this very bluntly this morning. We say the reason we don't pray more is because we are so busy. It's a lie. Not that we're not busy. I know we're busy. We're all busy doing something, filling up 24 hours in a day, right? But the lie is that that's why we don't pray. Because the truth is, if we really believe that prayer changes things, that prayer will bring God's power into our situation, if we really believe that if we pray about things, that something's going to happen, we will make time to pray. We'll find time to pray. The truth is the reason that if we're not praying, the reason is because we don't think it's going to matter. Because if we believe that the power of God will move, that miracles will happen when we pray, we'll find time to pray, church. Whether we have time to sleep or time to eat, much less watch TV. So I challenge you, turn the TV off. Disconnect from the internet. Get your phone and turn it off. Unplug it. What if there's an emergency? Then your Father, the one that you're talking to, is able to cope with that emergency for 20 whole minutes while you're talking to Him. How do we get so deceived that we think that we have to have all of this stuff surrounding us every moment of every day? That's the busyness of life that's choking out so often the Word of God, what God wants to do in our life and our relationship with Him. So I encourage you, as we do this study on prayer, make it a priority in your life. Make it more than just something that you have to do, some ritual religion that's ineffective and fruitless. You know, we've all seen people that did that. They pray and they have a prayer life, but it's not something that is really about a personal relationship. It's just kind of a ritual that they go through. Like I said, the more common problem is that people just don't pray because they don't believe it'll make a difference. But Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18 to always pray and not give up. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that parable is the parable of the unjust judge and how the widow went to this unjust judge and wanted justice. And not because he says he doesn't regard man or fear God, But because she persists, because he says she's troubling me, I will avenge her. This unjust judge, he's not a good guy, an unjust judge. But he's going to avenge this widow woman because of her persistence. And Jesus tells us this parable so that we will understand that we should never give up in prayer. And then he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night? He says, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. And listen to the last phrase here. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? There's the real key. Is he going to find faith when he comes? Is there going to be people who still pray and believe? How about you? I want to be one of those who still pray and believe. When he comes, he's going to find me believing. He's going to find me praying and believing, expecting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never give up. Jesus taught this in Mark 11, 22. He says, have faith in God. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe the things that you say will be done, you will have whatever you say. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive them, you shall have them. Jesus is teaching us that prayer prayed in faith. See, when we pray in faith, it works. If you believe you receive what things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. Church, we need to know this, otherwise we're not going to pray. But if we know that when we really pray and believe, God answers that kind of prayer. I tell you, we'll make time to pray. Tremendous power is available to the one who prays and believes. Prayer, first and foremost, it's not just about the power. It is about a personal relationship with God. First and foremost, it is about you having an intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. Without prayer, you just have religion, rules, and regulations. Christianity is more than mere religion. It is a relationship with a living Lord that can only be experienced on an ongoing basis through prayer. Prayer is the privilege of communion with our Heavenly Father. Prayer has the power to change things. But we need to remember that it is first and foremost about our relationship with God. Billy Graham said, heaven is full of answers to prayers which no one ever bothered to ask. You know, one of the definitions of potential is unused power. I believe there's a lot of power in heaven that's waiting for us to believe, to pray and believe. The book of James says, you have not because you ask not. We need to ask, church. Now he goes on and he says, you ask and still don't have because you ask amiss. Well, we need to ask according to the scripture, according to the word of God. But we have not because we ask not. It's important that we pray and believe. R.A. Torrey said, we're too busy to pray, and so we're too busy to have power. That's what we need, is the power of God. The touch of God upon our lives comes through prayer. Prayer even brings the power to change a nation. It's not a politician. It's prayer. Now, God uses people, but I'm telling you, the power to change a nation comes through prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Jesus exhorted us to pray. He modeled it for us. And he teaches us how. In the Gospel of Luke, just before the Lord's Prayer is given there, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, they had seen Jesus pray. Wouldn't that be awesome? They had watched him pray, and I think they probably thought, he's good at it. They had seen the closeness, the communion that he had with his Father. And they had seen the results of his prayer. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the power of God in answer to his prayer. And so they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Listen, they were not unlike us. They struggled. They struggled with what to pray, how to pray. I think some of them struggled to pray, just like us. But Jesus teaches them. Now, we're going to read this blueprint for prayer from Matthew's gospel, but I actually want us to begin with verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. There are some key principles that the Lord gives us in these preceding verses. And we just want to lay a good foundation for this series that we're kicking off today. He says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now in Luke's gospel, that last phrase is not recorded, and it's not uncommon for the writers of the gospel to record different portions of events or teachings, or in this case, a prayer. But some of the modern translations have chosen to omit this phrase. They say that it is not in what they consider to be some of the most reliable manuscripts. I think what really is at work there is they want to try to be smarter and one up all of the previous translators. Most of the ancient manuscripts do have this phrase, and for 2,000 years the translators have thought that it should be part of the authoritative Word of God, and so I'm sticking with that. So I'm using the New King James Version while we do this series. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are going to keep that phrase in this teaching, and I really believe that. Now, I use the NIV sometimes and use it frequently, and I may even read a passage from it this morning, but I think they missed it on this one, all right? So we're gonna teach that. You know, now I know there may be some scholars in here that, well, just bear with us, but we're gonna go ahead and teach that when we get to it, all right? But this morning, I want us to see that Jesus, in this blueprint for prayer, before we get to that, he gives us instruction about prayer, and he gives us some warnings. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues, the corner of the streets, listen, that they may be seen by men. Jesus is not telling us that we're not to pray publicly. He did it. Jesus isn't telling you that you're never, ever supposed to pray publicly. He's talking about the motive of the heart, that we don't pray to be seen by other people. We don't pray just to look good in front of others. We don't pray so that we could appear religious. It's not about some religious pride. That's the worst kind. No, it is about us talking to our Heavenly Father. And so, listen, there are times when we should pray publicly, but with the right motives, with the right heart. But our time with God needs to be in the secret place. All of us need to have a time where we pull away from everything else and get alone with God. And our Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. When we pray just for others to see, He says, we already have our reward. You already received all the reward you're going to have. In other words, your prayer's not going to be answered. You've already gotten whatever reward you're going to get. But when we pray in secret, our Father rewards us openly. There's a lot of spiritual pride that comes into play when people pray. And especially when we've known the Lord for some time and we kind of learn the talk. Got quiet in here. God is not impressed by our oratory skills. He's not impressed by us changing the tone of our voice and speaking in 16th century English. Too many people pray sideways. Now, your praying might be a blessing to somebody else. But when you pray, talk to God, not to those around you. But I want to encourage you. You don't have to learn how to pray like the preacher, or how to pray like that guy you saw on TV. How to pray like your more mature spiritual friend. It's not about that. It's about you talking to your Father. And as I said in the beginning, even a small child can do this. You don't need to feel apprehensive. You don't need to feel self-conscious about the way you pray. You need to talk to your Father. And here Jesus gives us this warning that we're not praying to be seen. We're praying to be heard by our Father. And he tells us very plainly that we are not to use vain repetition. Jesus' teaching on prayer here, where he gives us this blueprint, this outline for prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it has been turned into a vain repetition, where people just go over it and over it, say it, quote it mindlessly, and many times they don't even know what it's about. They don't really even have an understanding of what this passage, this prayer is saying, but they just quote it as though it's some magical mumbo jumbo. It is probably the most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. And I say that because I've been to many funerals and other religious events where somebody begins to quote the Lord's Prayer, and virtually everyone in the crowd can quote it with them. And maybe they've just learned it from being at religious events. I don't know. But how this prayer has become the very thing that Jesus taught us not to do. Vain repetition. Maybe you've seen it on advertised on TV like I have, where you can buy the little pendant and microscopically it has been engraved with the Lord's Prayer. And if you get a jeweler's eyeglass, you can read it for yourself. Now, what is that about? If you bought one, don't get mad at me, all right? But I'm just telling you, it's not about that. It is about your relationship with your Father. And what Jesus was giving us here was not just some magical words that you quote mindlessly. No, he is giving us a pattern and a blueprint for prayer. It is about developing that prayer life and relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's not about vain repetition. Now, Jesus says that the pagans think that by their many words they will be heard. It always reminds me of the passage in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah has challenged the prophets of Baal, and they have set up their sacrifice, and they're beginning to call on Baal to send fire down and burn their sacrifice. And I'm just going to read it to you from verse 26 through 29. It's just fun. I tell you, the Bible is amazing. They called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. That's quite a prayer meeting they had. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder, slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Jesus says, don't think that by your many words that your prayer will be heard. By the way, I've been to a few prayer meetings that were pretty much just like that without the cutting. There was a lot of shouting, screaming, and frantic prophesying, but nothing happened. Let me tell you what Jesus is teaching us here. When he says, don't think by your many words that you're going to be heard. You can't earn a miracle. You can't twist God's arm by many words, even by shouting and dancing and cutting yourself. You can't get God to do it by earning something from him. It's not by your many words that you are heard. It is by simple faith. When we pray in faith, God responds to that. We're not twisting God's arm by many words. Am I saying you don't have to pray a long time? I'm saying you need to pray until you have prayed in faith. Amen. Prayer is not a work whereby you twist the arm of God. It is the expression of our faith. And when we pray in faith, God moves on our behalf. He knows what we need. It's what Jesus said, because he knows what you need before you even ask. He already knows what you need. Well, why do I need to pray then? Because, listen, he's the one in charge, and he says this is the way it works. You pray and believe, and I'll answer. Why do I need to ask if God knows what I need? Listen, when you pray, it is an expression of your faith. He responds to prayer, prayed in faith. So here's the first part of our blueprint for prayer. This is as far as we're going to get this morning. Our Father. Our Father. Let's just start with the first word. Our Father. You know, the disciples had heard Jesus over and over and over talking about his Father, saying, my Father, praying, Father. But he is telling us here, he's our Father. It's your Father too. But I believe for us this morning that there's something else here as well, that not only is Jesus telling us, hey, he's not just my Father, but he's your Father. Listen, he's not just my Father. He's your Father. And when I pray, I need to remember that. See, we don't pray selfishly. I'm the apple of his eye. I want to tell you this morning, I'm special. He loves me. But I need to remember, he loves you too. He's our Father. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 6, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's our Father. In Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, and this is Paul praying, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Listen, we have one Father, all of us together. We need to remember that. But we say, our Father. Realize you are talking to your Father. We need to get this mindset every time we pray. Father, I'm talking to my Father when I pray. Now, if you really get that, you got to get this too. What does that make you? That makes you his sons and daughters. And you need to know this. You need to have this mindset. Father, as a son, as a daughter of God, You need to know who you are, that when you call Him Father, you really are His child. A lot of believers that, listen, we all know that. We all have heard that, but we just need to really get it. We need a greater revelation of that truth, that He is our Father, and that when we pray, we are speaking to Him as a son or daughter talking to their Father. Now, if you read the Gospels, you see over and over and over again. In fact, I just challenge you to do this. Just start reading through the Gospels, and especially if you've got a red letter edition and you're reading where Jesus was speaking, you will see over and over and over that Jesus says, Father. He says, My Father. In fact, Jesus seldom ever refers to His Father by God or Lord or Almighty or any other name or title. He almost always refers to God as Father. My Father. Church, we need that kind of mindset. I'm telling you, if we want to be more effective in our prayer life, we need this mindset, Father. Now, I'm not telling you that it's wrong if you say, Jesus, help me. That's a good prayer. All right? I've prayed that prayer many times myself. I'm not telling you it's wrong if you say, Lord God Almighty. Listen, all that's good. You want to call Him Yahweh and Jehovah Jireh, and all those things are good, all right? But I'm just telling you, we need to have the mindset of a son, a daughter talking to their father, because Jesus said you should pray like this, Our Father. When my kids need me, they don't call me and say, Mark, I'll say, what? They don't say, Mr. Hill. They don't even say, Pastor. They say, Dad. Now, why do we call up our Father and say, O Lord God, Sovereign King of the universe, we come to Thee? You're talking to your Father. And He is deserving of reverence and respect. And we'll talk about that in this series. But you're talking to your Father. And you need to approach Him with that mindset. Father. I'm telling you, if you really get a hold of this, it'll set you free. It'll change your attitude about prayer. You'll start doing it a little more often. You'll start enjoying it more. Father. Prayer is communicating with our Father. It is a personal relationship with Him. It is not about ritual religion. And you know, the Jews of Jesus' day, in fact, as you read the Old Testament, they didn't pray, Father. They prayed, O Lord God. And Jesus comes onto this on the scene, and He talks about His Father. Well, He was the only begotten of the Father. But John 1 and 12 says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's you and me. If we receive Him, we believe on His name. He's given us the authority, the power to become the sons of God. 1 John 3, 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's us. What manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, I love that song we sang this morning. He loves us. I'm telling you, our Father loves us. He calls us His sons, His daughters, His children. And when we come to Him in prayer, we're not coming as second-class citizens. We're coming as His children. Jesus had a son mindset. He knew who His Father was. And He knew who He was. He seldom ever referred to His Father by any other name or title. Neither should we. I'm not telling you it's wrong. I'm just telling you, you need to have that mindset that He's your Father and you are His son or daughter. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us the story about how that Jesus' parents had lost track of Him in Jerusalem. And so they come back to the temple and they find Him there And Mary says to him, "Why have you done this to us? Look, your father," talking about Joseph, "look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Jesus says, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Whose business? My father's business. See, he started this business when he was 12 years old of saying, "My father." He's already saying, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Listen, when he cleaned out the temple, what did he call it? My father's house. My father's house. You see, it's very personal. I want to tell you that your relationship with God, your prayer life is to be very personal. That when you talk about him, he's not just Lord God of heaven, he's my father. John 5:17, Jesus says, "My father has been working until now, and I have been working." In 5:30, he says, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." John 8:28, he says, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Chapter 10, verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You see, Jesus is always talking about the Father. Last week we talked about John chapter 11, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And when Jesus came to the tomb and was ready to call Lazarus forth, he said, "Father, Father." Come on now, he could have listed out a big long string of fancy names for God and impressed everybody. He wasn't interested in impressing. He said, "Father, I thank you that you have already heard me. But I said this so that they might believe." See, church, it's all through the Gospels that he refers to his Father as Father. In the garden, he says, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Then on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And the last sentence that he spoke before he died, he said, "Father, Father." He's hanging on the cross, and as he gives his last words before he dies, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then he breathed his last. "Father, Father." Church, we got to get a hold of this. I hope this is getting in you this morning. I tell you, this is a truth that will set free. Father, Father, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing, no matter how difficult the situation might be, Father, you need to know he's right there, listening to you as a father listening to his child. Now, Jesus taught us to have that same mindset. What did he tell the disciples how to pray? He said to pray, "Our Father." But if you back up in the book of Matthew, go to chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." See, he could have said, "My Father," but he's trying to impress on them, he's not just my Father, he's your Father. And he says that they may glorify your Father. In verse 44 and 45 of that same chapter, he says, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father." Back to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1, he says, "Take heed that you don't do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." We already read these, but in verse 6, he says, "When you pray, you go into your room. When you shut the door, you pray to your Father. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly." In verse 8, he says, "Don't be like them. Your Father knows the things that you have need of." Are you getting it this morning? with Jesus, it was when he was talking about himself, he always said, my Father. And when he's talking to the disciples and to us, he always says, your Father. And we need to have that mindset. It is my Father that I'm talking to, that I'm praying to, that's hearing me. It's my Father. And that'll change the way you look at prayer. Now turn to Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning there, I just want to remind you again of John 1 and 12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you believe on the name of Jesus and you've received Jesus in your life, then you are a son, a daughter of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. The NIV says, lavished upon you. Matthew 7, 7 through 12, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And I feel like it's important here that these verbs, ask, seek, and knock, these are not a one-time event. They are a linear verb. It means that you ask. You keep asking. You keep knocking. You keep seeking. And Jesus tells us, now, listen now, Jesus doesn't say, for a select few, when you ask, you'll receive. For a certain few of you, once in a while, the door will be opened. We feel that way sometimes, don't we? But we need to believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives. Now, if you don't like that, you're going to have to take it up with Jesus. I'm just telling you what he said. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, if we are evil, and we give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask? Do you give your kids everything they ask for? I hope not. I know some of you do, and I hate it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we don't give our kids everything they ask for because everything they ask for is not good for them. But I tell you, your Heavenly Father will not withhold anything good from you. He knows what you need better than you know it yourself. And when you ask in faith, you receive. Now, what could you believe God for if you knew that he was really your Father and you were his child? What would you be worried about and anxious over if you knew that your Heavenly Father really was your Father? And that you really were his son. What could you believe God for? What would be impossible? Better yet, what would you consider to be possible with God? If you knew that he was your father. And you were his son, his daughter. He gives good things to his children. But we need to have this mindset. When we approach the throne of grace, we are not only coming to the sovereign King over all the universe, we're coming to our Father. Now, I know this morning that for many of us, referring to Father, it's not always an easy thing because some of us have some misconceptions about our Heavenly Father because we didn't have a good relationship with our earthly father, or maybe our earthly father was not a godly man. But I just want to encourage you. Your Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He is always there. He will never let you down. He is perfect in all his ways, the Bible says. He is a faithful Father. And as a son, a daughter of God, realize that when you approach Him as Father, He loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He wants to be involved in every area of your life. He wants a closeness with you. He is always available, never too busy. You know, as much as we may love our children, there's times we can't be everywhere at once. And there's times that even if we were there, that we don't have the resources or we don't have the ability to give them what they need. But our Heavenly Father does. Father, once again, before we close, I want to challenge you this morning. Have a Father mindset when you go to prayer. That you are His son and daughter. He is your Father. And you know, if we start going through our daily routine and we're talking to somebody about the Lord and we do like Jesus and we just start saying, well, my Father, you're going to get some strange looks. I'm telling you, Jesus got some strange looks too, because they weren't used to that. They thought it was blasphemous. But we need to have that mindset. And as you're going through your day, listen, not only when you have your private time with the Lord, but as you're going through your day and you're driving down the highway, in a split second, something happens and you say, Father, He's right there watching over His child. He loves you. You're about to deal with a difficult situation. And you just utter a quick prayer to your Father. Father, He's right there. So I encourage you. See, I know this was, we didn't get very far into this prayer, this blueprint, Our Father. But I believe it is so critical that we get this. It is about an intimate relationship between you and God, that you are talking to your Heavenly Father. Father.